Dorit!
Give me such a thrill, it was hurting me.
and you're listening to CITR Radio, FM 102, Cable 102, Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada, and the Nardwuar to Human Serviette Radio Show. You just heard right there that driving stupid in glorious mono slash stereo separation. So hopefully you heard the lyrics. And if you did, you heard My Mother Was a Big Fat Pig. If you didn't hear the lyrics, you heard a bit of instrumental rock. But either way, the driving stupid from Horror Asparagus Stories with My Mother Was a Big Fat Pig. And the show began with Double Shot of My Baby's Love by The Goodies from 1969. Today on the Nardwuar to Human Serviette Radio Show, an interview with Interpol and an interview with Canadian rockers, The Stars. To prepare you for Interpol, I thought I would play some American rock. And it's kind of a bit slow. It's not quite in your face, but it is an amazing version of Hey Jude. And this is off a great compilation. This was released called Weedle's Groove, Seattle's Finest in Funk and Soul. And I will explore this in upcoming weeks because there's some amazing connections going on here. A lot of this funk and soul was actually recorded in the same studio that the Sonics, the Wailers, the Kingsmen, all those cool 60s garage bands from Seattle recorded in, audio recording. So it sounds identical to the 60s garage sounds out of Seattle. I'm not going to do that comparison right now because I want to have a Sonics record on hand and compare, namely, the Black and White Affair's Bold Soul Sister, Bold Soul Brother with the Sonic Psycho, because they sound exactly the same. It's like almost like they sampled the Psycho drum roll to put in that tune. But we're not going to play that today. We're actually going to play the Overton Berry Trio's Hey Jude to prepare you for an interview with Interpol. And then after the Interpol interview, an interview with The Stars, who are coming to Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada next Friday night to the Commodore Ballroom. But right now, let's go all the way to Seattle, Washington for the Overton Berry Trio and their version of Hey Jude. Actually, that was wrong. Believe it or not, that's one thing that maybe I should have mentioned about this CD. As well as having old school stuff in there, they've also thrown in some new school stuff. So that actually was a tiny little clip of Mr. Holmes and the Brotherhood with Thrift Score Find, which actually was a bonus track from the 21st century. But right now, here should be the Hey Jude for you completist.
Thank you.
are you?
Interpol.
Please introduce Interpol.
I'm assuming you're talking about our names.
Yes, the names and ages, please, of the band Interpol.
Well, I can't vouch for anyone else's age. I'm 30. My name's Carlos. This is Daniel, Sam, and Paul right there.
And you're here together in Vancouver, British Columbia.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Now, your enthusiasm probably stems from the fact that your guitar is gone. What happened the last time? What happened the last time the Interpol were in Vancouver? It was quite a sad event, wasn't it?
Oh, it was a good time. It was a good time. I didn't want that thing anyway. It was, you know, materialistic. We didn't need it.
Well, just like, can you run us through it a little bit? Like, you showed up at the Royal Hotel, your first gig in Vancouver.
And, I guess we went back to our actual hotel. Is that the name of the venue, the Royal Hotel?
That's the venue.
So I guess we went back to our hotel, and when we got back to the venue, someone had broken into the dressing room and stolen the guitars and sold them for 1/100th of their value.
Now, when you leave the venue, do you usually leave everything all set up on stage? What have you guys done, Sam? Like, do you leave your guitars exposed? Where were they stolen from?
Dressing room. Yeah, and there was supposed to be a
venue cap, and it wasn't locked up, and there was supposed to be a security guard, and it wasn't. And it was right on the alleyway, which some of these alleyways around here are not necessarily the most pleasant ones. So
you go away, and then you come back. Did you go for something to eat at least?
I don't remember.
Like, was there anything to have food?
After sound check.
There was food involved.
There was food. So you're feeling good. You had a good meal in Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada.
Showers, too. We took showers.
You have showers, and then you come back to the Royal Interpol, and...
This experience is coming back to me in, like, such a beautiful force right now. It's great, yeah. Came back, and the guitars were stolen.
Now, what exactly was stolen, and what do you still want back? Because maybe it's still out there. There was a news item recently that Bono, your good fun buddy Bono... He had, like, a lyric book returned after 20 years after it got stolen in Portland.
That's a nice story. I got my guitar back already.
You got the guitar back?
Yeah.
So what are we missing?
My guitar.
And what is it for all the people out there, the Gear Hounds?
It's like a burgundy red 67 or something like that, Epiphone Casino. So it's like an F-shaped, it's got like F-holes, it's like an old-looking guitar, like kind of like a Chuck Berry-looking guitar.
Like John Lennon?
Or John Lennon.
Yes.
Another weird story, actually. Remember the band Bachman Turner Overdrive?
Taking Care of Business.
Taking Care of Business.
Every day.
Yeah, Randy Bachman lives in Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada, and he told me a story how he once had a guitar stolen years ago, and it ended up in a Tears for Fears video.
No way, really?
Yeah.
Gosh, nothing like that's happened for me. So
yeah, Daniel, have you seen it out there anywhere? Like, have you seen anybody else playing the guitar? I mean, what's the specifics for it? Have you been like, that could be my guitar?
No, I haven't seen anyone who's been playing my guitar.
You should just watch some Tears for Fears videos.
I don't want to blame them. I don't want to blame those guys. We can blame them for a lot, can't we?
But they do have a new record coming out. Right, or they have a new record that came out, so, like, kind of coincidental.
Yeah, I feel you. Shady, Rowan, and Kurt. Mm-hmm.
Well, on behalf of Vancouver, I wanted to give you guys a little present here. This is an LP by local band The Organ, who actually played with you guys on that fateful night.
No, they didn't, really.
Yes, they did.
But we also played with Radio Berlin, though.
Yeah, Radio Berlin and The Organ played that night. So although you don't get your guitar back, Daniel, you do get a little bit of the evening back with a little LP by The Organ. Welcome to Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, excellent.
Well, actually, it's Canadian Connections, a Vancouver band, unfortunately, and Vancouver, unfortunately, related to the mysterious disappearance of Interpol organs. But there's some more connections. You guys were originally called the French...
No.
Yeah,
we tossed around a title that had the word French in it at one point. We never played a show with that, though.
But you almost were going to be called the French Letters, right?
I think it might be even on our website that it says that. Like, I saw that. I don't think it's accurate.
Oh, please make it be true.
Yeah, no, it's totally true.
Oh, and I'm happy for that, because in Vancouver, there used to be a band called the French...
Letters.
Yes, another Vancouver connection to Interpol. And here you are, Matador recording artist in Vancouver. Matador is also home of other Matador recording artists, namely...
A.C. Newman, the New Pornographers.
Yes, exactly. You got that, Sam, for 100. Now, for 200, Carlos D., you historian, what other Matador artist, a duo from Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada, a duo, a girl and a guy, David... Can you answer, Sam?
Dust Devils.
Dust Devils is pretty close. No, not the Dust Devils. Mecca.
Normal. Mecca Normal.
Mecca Normal, yes.
Yeah.
So there's a Canadian connection as well. Mecca Normal, A.C. Newman, and the New Pornographers all in Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada.
That A.C. Newman record is phenomenal.
Now, there is another connection, and thank you for praising Canadian rock there, Sam, of Interpol. Interpol. No, Carlos, you were talking about your singer in the press a little while back.
Was I?
Yes, and you had mentioned he was displaying, or is displaying, some Howard Hughes tendencies.
I have been quoted as saying that. That's correct.
And Howard Hughes, you know, holed himself up in one particular location that I might mention, Vancouver. Yes, Howard Hughes holed himself up in Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada, at the Bayshore Inn. So another connection between Interpol and Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada, Howard Hughes. Now, why is Paul kind of like Howard Hughes?
Look at him.
There you
Paul
got it.
Probably actually answer that question a little bit. I know. I'm not actually. I knew. I knew.
What was Carlos talking about? Was that rude of him?
I don't know. I'm not sure. I mean, I haven't.
It was merely an illustration of the mental state that Paul was in when we were recording the antics.
Is it a premonition?
Well, I hope not.
Yeah, I would love to.
No. Actually, I think I may be turning a bit of Howard Hughes myself. Look, is that wrong on the fingernails? Is that wrong, Carlos? I know you're a style expert. Is that wrong? Should I be?
And the manicured fingernails?
Yeah, it's no, just like they're kind of like they should be chopped. Because remember, Howard Hughes didn't cut his finger. Actually, let's see Paul's fingernails. Yeah, I think he's beating me. So, Interpol, here you are in Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada, a piece of land. You guys are creating land all over North America with your Interpol shuba, your Interpol space.
Yes.
Your Interpol space. What? Yeah, I was hoping you'd fill in like shuba a. Yeah, Interpol space. What?
Simmer down there.
What is the Interpol space? What is it? The only thing I know about it is you have the guy associated with Andre the Giant posters involved, and I love Andre the Giant posters. So what is this Interpol space? I don't understand.
It's like a gallery meets merchandising store meets hangout meets bar kind of thing. I mean, well, there isn't a bar in there, but... Sometimes
that's
there's
cool, that
that's a desire of yours. There.
There's three locations.
There's more than three, actually. There's
convenient locations.
But it's like a gallery, a neat gallery, to help promote the brand new. Here's your big chance, Paul. The brand new Interpol CD.
Antics.
Yeah. See, he does answer when he's asked to answer, right?
He certainly does.
Yes, you're Interpol. No, I was wondering, though. You're putting up this space and stuff. Does that mean, because there's cool artists involved, like, what is the Andre the Giant guy? Sorry, like, who is the Andre the Giant guy? And I'm calling him that.
Okay. Shepard Fairey.
And he drew these cool Andre the Giant things that popped up everywhere, all over North America, right?
Yeah, among many other things.
Really, yeah.
So it's involved in this space. He's involved, like, I think, doing portraits of you guys. Now, I'm thinking, does this make you business artists?
Why would that be business artists?
Well, like, you have art, but you're also promoting your record. So does that make you a business artiste?
Aren't all acts on a record label business artists by default, then, if that's your definition? I mean, it's part of the industry that that's happening, but it's not something that we willfully do.
Baboon, yes, you're coming right back at you.
Yeah,
at you? Yourself. At me, Nardwuar the Human Serviette here in Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada. Now, makes me think that Interpol space is kind of like for Interpol aesthetic, isn't it, Sam?
It's a collaboration between Shepard Fairey's aesthetic and ours.
Now, what is the Interpol aesthetic?
Ooh, it's not necessarily so defined. It's kind of... There isn't necessarily a specific Interpol aesthetic. There's just things that make sense to us, that something like the space makes sense to us instead of... I don't know, it just was something cool that we could do. It wasn't necessarily just to promote the record as much as tying it in, and there was some kind of way to show a different side to Interpol, but there isn't necessarily a specific, well-defined Interpol aesthetic. If we all agree upon doing something, that becomes the Interpol aesthetic.
Whose idea was for the Interpol aesthetic or for the space? Whose idea? Who's to blame?
We have a marketing person at a...
Well, Lombardi. Lombardi, the owner of Matter, one of the owners of Matter, it was his idea, apparently. And then he brought it to us, and then we sort of...
Did he come up with the idea of driving through the Alps again in his BMW?
No. I think it was, like, somewhere in Africa. Like, it was, like, on a safari or something like that, right?
Actually, it was Madagascar. He was running around with the lemurs. Yeah, and it somehow inspired him when he was swinging around the branches.
I was thinking, Sam, that perhaps this right here could be the Interpol aesthetic. I don't know if the other guys agree with me, but is this the Interpol aesthetic, Sam, if you could hold on to this? What is the Interpol aesthetic and the ton-ups? What's the connection?
Wow. That's thorough.
Yeah, I didn't play on this record.
Well, who are the ton-ups, and how do they play into the Interpol aesthetic, Daniel?
They're the antithesis of the Interpol aesthetic.
Well, I'm thinking that these guys, you were in a band called The Turnup.
I was in this band, yeah.
Now, I'm not sure if people know too much about this band. What are the roots of this? What was this band like? Did you ever check these guys out, Paul?
I haven't heard them yet, no.
Did you ever check them out?
You know, I hadn't. I have not.
Did you ever check them out, Carla?
I have to agree with everyone else.
So that shows how, like, free and open Interpol are. Like, Sam walked into the audition, and you'd even checked out what he'd done previously?
I think I hid this from them.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. If we check it out, we don't like it, Sam, even though he didn't play on it. That might be a thing.
Unfortunately, I think this was the last good thing they did, and then I joined, and it kind of went down.
Is this the Interpol aesthetic as well? What exactly is that sound?
Yeah. Damn, you've done your homework. Now, that's something I'm kind of proud of, even though I look ridiculous, but this was a band called the Holy Terrors down in Miami.
And that's you playing the drums?
That's me.
Kicking it out. Now, why are you more proud of the punk look here than the kind of like the mod garage sort of ton-upping?
Because it was just better.
Was it better?
I don't know. I didn't hear the tunnels.
That's a nice pick, though, isn't it, Carlos?
I think that's a fantastic look.
Now, just continuing on here, Paul, just quickly, I was wondering, the Interpol aesthetic.
I think Daniel said it pretty well, actually.
I was looking for some information on it, and tell me if I'm right or wrong. A group of girls swooned during the first encore. Ooh, they're playing the sexy song, said one. Another licked her lips and cooed, "It makes me want to have sex."
I know exactly where you got that from.
Where did I get that from?
Village Voice.
The Village Voice, yes, Carlos. Is that the Interpol aesthetic? Because it couldn't get better than that. You make people want to have sex.
What more do you want from life if that's what you're doing?
So is that what the Interpol spaces do? They're going to make people have sex all over the world?
We got beds set up in the back. Come on down.
What's interesting also about Interpol, Sam, is your perspective. I like your perspective.
Mine?
Is Sam a grounded member of the band? You know, been in the punk rock scene, the ton-ups and stuff. Is he a grounded member, Paul?
Yes. I just want you to know that I'm just happy to be here.
Exactly! And your quote is, "I'm just trying not to appeal to the 16-year-olds. I'm not trying to appeal to the 16-year-olds. I'm just trying to score with their...
mothers.
With their moms! That's good! You're honest! The honesty that exists in Interpol is just amazing.
Yeah. Why lie?
Interpol, you guys are up there on stage. You're playing tonight at the Commodore Ballroom. You've had stuff thrown at you. Like, there's been panties thrown at you, Carlos?
There was an occasion where panties were thrown at me, yes.
Like red panties?
Red lace panties, actually.
Is that at all distracting to have stuff thrown at you on stage? Like, here you guys are. You're playing a serious song, and suddenly some, like, red panties land on stage. Does it kind of ruin the mood at all?
Red panties are always welcome.
They never ruin the mood.
Never get old.
Have there been any other things chucked at you? A little while back, I interviewed a band, Billy Talent, and they once had a hamburger thrown at them when they opened for the Buzzcocks. Have you guys had any food thrown at you? And if so, in what stage was it when it landed on the stage? Like, what was it? What state was it in?
When we did the Curiosa tour, I got a bunch of candy. I got one of those bracelets that you eat. And I think in England, I got a package of ham thrown on stage. That was probably the best thing so far.
That was good.
Do you guys eat the stuff that's thrown on stage?
Especially the ham.
Do you eat fan food?
I have not received any fan food, so I cannot eat it.
Nobody's baked you any food or made you any quiche or anything, Carlos?
Not any quiche. I think there was a cake once made.
Did you eat the candy? What did you do with it? Did you donate it to a charity? Like, I guess, you know, doesn't Madonna or Morrissey, they give all the flowers to somebody? Actually, what does Morrissey do with his flowers? You guys, didn't you play with Morrissey?
No, we never played with Morrissey.
Like, what would he do with the flowers?
I don't know.
Maybe he'd dry them and press them and hang them up. You know,
something tells me that Morrissey probably doesn't really care too much about the flowers.
But what about all the stuff that's thrown on stage for you guys? Like, I'm just curious. What do you do with it? Like, what would you do with the panties?
Well, the panties were actually hung up on my bass amp for the duration of the tour after that show, actually, as a sort of memento of that occasion.
And you guys are Interpol, and it's pretty exciting that you're Interpol as well, because you're presented with many opportunities. And one of them that made me really excited was that you guys got a remix done by Arthur Baker.
Yeah, that's right.
And that is the dude behind Africa
Bambaataa.
Now, what was that like? Africa Bambaataa, Arthur Baker, Interpol. That's pretty exciting. Don't tell me what else he was involved with. Please, don't tell me.
Why not?
No, I don't want to know. I just want to know what he was involved with, you know, time zone and all that stuff.
Well, he was...
New Order.
No, don't tell me that.
No, I mean, it was, yeah, when he remixed Obstacle One, that was total honor. I have a lot of Arthur Baker 12 inches, actually, remixes of, like, Hall & Oates, for instance. Who would ever think that that would, you know, be really, really, really cool? But it is, actually, when he puts his stamp on it.
How good a job did he do, Paul, do you think?
Pretty good. I like that remix.
And how are you feeling today?
Not so great. Not so great, actually.
I'm sorry about that. Sorry to bring back the memories of Vancouver theft, but you got your stuff back. I don't want to bring this back up again, but how did you end up getting your stuff back? I'm just curious.
I don't know. Someone tracked down the kid that bought the guitar, and then I spoke to him over the phone and described it, and he was nice enough to give it back.
That's great.
How much did he buy it for? $60?
Oh, so a fellow fan bought
it wasn't a fan.
No, the guy sold the guitars, went into a bar, and sold them to two people. The bartender, some kid came to the show later on after the show and told us this. We called the bartender, or someone in our group called the bartender, and he knew the guy that bought Paul's guitar, and therefore were able to contact him.
I got nauseous. I got to go to the bath.
Okay, Paul. Well, one sec before you go. Doot, doot, a loot, doot.
Doot, doot.
Oh, wait. We continue on here with Interpol as Paul goes away. I guess he is the singer. Am I allowed to call Paul the singer?
Yeah.
Like, it's okay to give him some break because he needs to rest some extra time, right?
His voice. Yeah, he's got to rest his voice.
But Sam, what is the difference between being Paul in the band and being Sam in the band? Like, for instance, are these guys going to leave now individually, so it's just going to be me and you left at the end?
Could be. I think the biggest difference is 10 years.
Baboon! Interpol here in Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada. Carlos, after the set you're playing tonight, I saw some posters up for you doing a DJ set.
That's correct.
What's it like doing the DJ thing? Were you inspired by Princess Superstar out of New York?
That's a good question, but no, I wasn't. I've been DJing just as long as I've been in this group. In fact, probably even before that, I had like a radio show in college and stuff like that. So it was just something that I wanted to just keep doing. And doing it, you know, sometimes you play a show and you don't know where to go because you're not familiar with the city and stuff. So if you can set up like a DJ gig as an after party, you can invite everyone down and have a good time after the show. So
at what point do you lay down the law? Like, for instance, Daniel, let's say it's $20 to get into your gig tonight.
Yeah.
And it's $30 to get into the after party. No, it isn't.
That's bullshit.
But I mean, would you lay down the line? You know, what has anything like that happened where it's been more expensive for the after party?
Well, Carlos is the real show. We're just opening up. We're getting things warmed up, basically, for the real stage, which happens at the after show. But, I mean, soon enough, we're going to switch it around. And, you know, he'll be the main show, and we'll be the after show. And we'll hire someone who looks like him to play with us.
And you actually are DJing, aren't you? Because there are some people that say they're doing DJing, and they don't always DJ, do they?
What do you mean that they don't DJ?
Well, like, for instance, if you want 50 Cent to DJ your celebrity party, it's $10,000 U.S. for 15 minutes.
Okay, but he's DJing for 15
minutes. No, he does nothing. He just shows up.
Oh, yeah. No, it's not like that at all. In fact, I would actually prefer that nobody even, like, acknowledges that it's me DJing. I'd rather them just, like, dance and enjoy the music.
Aha! You alluded to something there, Carlos. Acknowledgement. Do you get more acknowledgement doing the acknowledgement? Acknowledgement. This is the way it usually happens. Acknowledgement, Carlos. Do you get more acknowledgement when you're doing the DJ than you're doing the actual band thing?
That would be impossible because my band is like 40 gazillion times more popular than my DJing, so...
I'm really sorry about that. Yeah, another couple years, we'll get there. Don't worry.
Actually, it's being made a big... it's being overly dramatized because, honestly, it's just about me, like, playing music that I want to hear and having people listen to it, and that's really all I care about.
Well, is he more accessible at the DJ stuff, though, Sam?
Yes.
Hmm.
He's a sitting duck because he's behind the turntables and, like, people... He can't go anywhere when people come up to him and ask him all crazy questions and stuff like that.
Okay, just one quick question. I don't want to keep going on. You know, it's winding up here, but how do you keep people away from the DJ booth?
I don't actually have a strategy. I mean, sometimes DJ booths are, like, very high up, and you have to go through a spiral staircase or something like that. So that usually is a preventative measure. But, for instance, last night I was on a stage that was very easily accessible by people, and they were all coming up, you know, all night. But it's not a problem.
Daniel of
Interpol,
your bandmate Carlos wrote an article for Vice magazine.
Yeah, I didn't read it though. Sorry.
All about heavy
metal.
All about heavy metal. Did you read that article at all, Sam?
I did not. I missed it.
Did you read that article? You wrote it.
I wrote it and read it. actually.
And now, you talked a lot about heavy metal being the blueprint for who you are today. Is heavy metal responsible for you in Interpol? Is heavy metal responsible for Interpol?
Well, indirectly, I guess you could say, because if it weren't for heavy metal, I wouldn't have gone into music, and I wouldn't have been able to play guitar and so on and so forth. So, yeah, absolutely.
Because I was telling some people, I was going down to interview Interpol, and they were saying, is that a metal band? Because, you know, the name, does the name sound metal? Interpol!
It's pretty tough.
And then I just read the Vice article and thought, oh, yeah, yeah, it is. Yeah, I told them, yeah, it was. Check out Vice magazine.
Well, Paul came up with the idea to call ourselves Interpol, so.
No, what? And he's not here, so he can't defend it, so let's just say it was a metal band. So, winding up here, Carlos of Interpol, I was curious. You were talking a little bit about Nirvana in your article about metal.
Yes, I was.
Now, are you pro-Nirvana or are you anti-Nirvana? Because some of the metal dudes out there, for instance, do you remember Janie Lane from the hair metal band Warrant?
Yeah.
He remembers, well, actually, maybe I can ask you this. Where were you when you first heard Smells Like Teen Spirit, Daniel?
I was in high school.
Do you remember the moment?
I was on TV or something like that.
Do you remember the moment you heard Smells Like Teen Spirit?
I remember the precise moment.
What was happening?
I was driving in a car on I-95, heading north.
Oh, my God. And what were you thinking when you heard that song?
I thought that it sounded hauntingly familiar, and I instantly loved it and turned it up really loud.
Okay, that's
it. I was trying to figure out, like, what is it? Have I heard this before? Or what? Yeah.
Now, Carlos, how do you think Janie Lane of the band Warrant reacted to hearing Smells Like Teen Spirit for the first time?
Probably not well.
He pulled over to the side of the road and cried.
I hope he did, at least.
So what I was wondering is, when you heard Smells Like Teen Spirit, did you cry totally?
Well, I cried with joy, actually, because I really, really loved it when I first heard it. It kicked my ass.
But it killed metal, though. Nirvana killed metal. So are you pro or anti-Nirvana? Because it did kill metal.
I'm pro-Nirvana, and at that time I was kind of like getting out of metal anyway, too. I was part of the whole historical process that was, you know, causing the demise of heavy metal, which was grunge.
So you were participating, helping destroy heavy metal, and yet heavy metal created you.
I'm a very complex individual.
Carlos, lastly here, when I was in junior high school, I was like a prop for everyone else's humor.
That is correct.
That's what you wrote in Vice magazine.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then somebody posted on the message board, hate to tell you this, Carlos, but nothing's changed.
Oh,
ba-boom.
Ba-boom, exactly.
But what do you feel about that? You criticized when you're doing metal, and now you criticize the gain in Interpol.
What can you do? You can never escape. The coil.
Is this the curse of Janie Lane coming to haunt you guys?
Oh, yeah.
Now, are there any metal connections, lastly, between Interpol and metal and heavy metal? Have you had any heavy metal roadies? Have you played with Guns N' Roses yet? You know what I mean?
No.
No, wait. We played at a festival where Guns N' Roses headlined. We went on at 1 in the afternoon, and they went on at about 11 p.m. or something like that.
Oh, yeah, and they kept you backstage, didn't they?
They did. They shut down. They kept every single artist, and they shut down the dressing areas, and then all of a sudden they're like, Axel is on the stage, and they let everyone move again. But it was like they shut it down for like an hour. We were all trapped in an area, all these artists.
And that's when I saw Arthur Baker sleeping at a kind of cafeteria table, and I took a picture of him.
He was there?
Yeah.
No, was that sad because he's down and out, or is that...
I think he might have been just...
long bit.
Yeah, and the whole Guns N' Roses fiasco probably just wiped them out.
So you guys are playing with Guns N' Roses indirectly. Are you able to take any mementos? Are you into the mementos? Like, they had Buckethead at that time. Did you see the guy with Kentucky Fried Chicken at least?
Didn't see anyone. They weren't existent back then.
Could you go in the dressing room afterwards and pick something up?
They had like tons of like bodyguards and stuff like that. And I think I could take them, but after they're gone.
They had the real Interpol kind of hovering around them and protecting them, so you couldn't. There was totally inaccessible.
But how about you guys? You're playing all these festivals. I mean, you know, The Cure, you're playing with all these great bands. I can't even name them because there's so many great bands that you guys are playing with. Do you ever go full out and think, I'm going to take Memento?
Not so much, no.
Because a friend of mine had Jason Priestley from Beverly Hills.
90210.
Who lives in?
Los Angeles?
No, Vancouver. Vancouver, and he was from Vancouver, over at his house, and it was at a house party. And Jason went to the washroom, and the toilet wasn't working, so it didn't flush properly.
No, he didn't.
He did. He didn't get fecal. My friend came in afterwards and scooped up in a little cup and put Jason Priestley's piss in a bottle and put it on the mantelpiece.
Piss in a bottle.
Because you never know, it might be good for eBay someday. So I was wondering, have you guys done anything like that in all the festivals? Have you taken any mementos from anything? Aside from, you know, the time you're spending with me. I mean, this is going to be your record of Vancouver here in 2004. Have you taken anything from any of your tours? Have you got any stuff from, like, a lock of Robert Smith's hair or anything like that?
Lipstick. I ganked his lipstick.
You actually took his lipstick?
I'm kidding. You're just fishing for things, though, because
I was hoping that it was some memento.
You're giving us inspiration, though. There's a lot of good ideas to draw from now. Lipstick and urine and, you know, feces.
Locks of hair.
Vancouver.
I got to ask you guys lastly here, Interpol. What's this story about Paul and you, Carlos, and the axe-wielding granny? Or is that Daniel? Who is that?
That was Paul and Carlos.
That's actually pretty bit... that's old trivia, actually. It's old trivia on the group. What about it?
Well, there's an axe-wielding granny. I think that's amazing.
She didn't have an axe. She had a hammer. A big, big hammer.
And she came after you?
Yeah. She was chasing us. She wanted to beat our heads with the hammer.
Anything else you want to add to the people out there at all, Interpol? Any words for Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada at all, Sam?
This is working.
It's nice to be back here.
I like the city a lot.
I like the city, too.
And please, guitar...
safe.
Back.
Please.
Yeah. Check out Tears for Fears videos.
Yeah. If you see the guitar.
Interpol, why should people care about Interpol? Why should people care?
Do you mean care as in enjoy our music? Because it's highly emotive.
All right. Well, thanks much, Interpol. Keep on rocking in the free world and doo-doo-doo-doo-doo.
Fuck you. Whoops. Can I not say that on air?
My buttons, oh yeah, you make me spit. I don't like my clothes anymore. We're spending time and money, yeah, you're colder than yourself. Now we're moving, now we're taking control.
And you're still listening to CITR Radio, FM 102, Cable 102, Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada, and the Nardwuar Human Serviette Radio Show. And you just heard Interpol there with Specialist. And before that, an interview with Interpol. And before that, some information I did not disclose to you properly. It was a version of Hey Jude by the Overton Berry Trio. And what I did not disclose to you was the fact that it was recorded live at Seattle's Doubletree Inn. That's very important for me to say. Seattle's Doubletree Inn. Amazing. Hey Jude by the Overton Berry Trio. Coming up on the Nardwuar Human Serviette Radio Show, an interview with Stars, who are playing next Friday night at the Commodore Ballroom. But before we connect with Stars, I thought I would play a little bit of Prefab Sprout. No, the reason I'm going to play Prefab Sprout is the Stars have been compared to the Prefab Sprout. So I'm going to play some Prefab Sprout, then I'm going to play some Stars. Hopefully maybe we'll reconnect with the Stars. We can ask the Stars about their Prefab Sprout influence, but then maybe you can tell me if you think the Stars sound anything like Prefab Sprout. I just threw on a random Prefab Sprout tune, so I don't know if it's the proper one to help compare with the Stars. But anyways, here's Let's Go on the Nardwuar Human Serviette Radio Show, Prefab Sprout with Here on the Eerie and in the Stars.
Beguiling than children at play. The mind meets dilemma with a heart in decay. How they reconcile our twist. What was I gonna say? I called because you're in the position to help. With a limited talent but impossible wealth. How they reconcile love with. Sure is a problem, but don't go away. Cool critique of New Gamora, Subar Crush on Che Guevara. Face yourself or give it away. Hearts go numb and conscience weary. Mutiny here on the Eerie. Face yourself or give it away. Pretending new feelings of anguish. If you prefer to dance, please stop talking of things you know nothing. The truth well will make you ill. So chew on the safest, blandest of food. And avoid the specifics that might ruin the mood. A universal prescription continues to elude. Love becomes you a happy burden. Of a life staying neatly curtained. Recognize that it won't go away. Hearts grow numb and conscience weary. You see me here on the Eerie. Face yourself or give it away. This dark round lover's business, astrology wisdom, go rhyme your runes. Don't turn tearful or mystical on me. I'm not your seventh son. We'll be right back.
hair. He strokes her on the cheek. The bed is unmade, like everything is. Dark little heaven at the top of the stairs. Take me like that.
You're still listening to CITR Radio, FM 102, Cable 102, Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada. And that was One More Night by The Stars! And before The Stars, we heard some Prefab Sprout. I was trying to compare the two bands. Not quite sure if that worked entirely. And actually, continuing on that thread of stuff that doesn't really fit at all, while we're waiting for The Stars to phone in, I wanted to play another track that is not related at all. Well, it is related in the sense it was recorded in the year 1954, which I think might be the birth year of one of the dudes that actually produced The Stars. That's how much I'm really grasping for things right here. And this is a track called Dubiadu by The Falcons.
No.
Dubiadu, go, go.
No.
Dubiadu, go, go.
No.
Dubiadu, go, go. Dig that crazy sound.
No,
Dubiadu, go, go.
No,
Dubiadu, go, go.
No,
Dubiadu, go, go. It goes round and round.
If you're feeling like a square, don't try walking on the air. Being no dick, boy, that's nowhere. You got to get that chick right out of your hair.
No,
Dubiadu, go, go.
No,
Dubiadu, go, go.
No,
Dubiadu, go, go. Nothing brings you down.
From 1954 with Dubiadu, go, go. I was mentioning the dude that produced The Stars, and hopefully I'll be able to ask The Stars about this dude. His name is Alan Nichols, and it's amazing, his background. He was actually in a 1960s group out of Montreal called JB and the Playboys, who later changed the name of their band to the JBs, and then he went on to work with Robert Altman, and then went on to produce The Stars. So in the history of The Stars, on the Nardwuar Human Serviette Radio Show, here's the JBs with I'm a Loner, originally by, of course, the JBs, and performed by the JBs, but done by the JBs producer dude, Alan Nichols, who went on to produce The Stars.
You know that you can die on your own. Alone knows. Alone knows.
Again, you're listening to CITR Radio, FM 102, Cable 102, Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada, and the Nardwuar Human Serviette Radio Show. And who do we have on the line right now? Hello, are you there?
I am here. You have Torque from STARS.
Who are you, Torque? Please, could you explain? Who are you and who else is in STARS?
I'm just a dude from Montreal, and I'm in a band called STARS with my friends Amy and Chris and Evan and Pat. And we make Lovers Rock.
And you're coming to Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada. Actually, I saw a reference to Lovers Rock. You know the Clash song, Lovers Rock?
Sure, I love it. Yeah.
I love that tune. I saw a reference to it being the weak link on London Calling.
Really?
Yeah, the weak link. I love that tune. I love
that. Who wrote that?
I'm not sure. It was like a blow-by-blow description of... I might have actually been in Uncut Magazine or something like that.
And well, what do they know?
I know. They've really declined all these years. But
I guess so.
And you do have an appreciation of the past, don't you there, Torque of the STARS?
I do. I love the past. The past seems better than what we're experiencing now. It probably wasn't, but it seems that way.
And you're coming to Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada, speaking of the future, next Friday night.
That's right.
That's the 12th at the Commodore Ballroom. And I don't know, did you hear a little bit of that music I was playing before you came on?
I did, yeah. What was that?
That, believe it or not, was a band called the JBs.
The JBs, not the, like the JB Horns.
No, the JBs, who used to be called JB and the Playboy.
The Playboys! Oh, Nardwuar, you always know, don't you?
I'm trying to do a little connection here with the STARS. Because
you're an omniscient and omnipotent character.
Well, first, could you please explain to the people, Torque, what is the connection between the band I played, the JBs, JB and the Playboys, and your band, the STARS? Because I think this is incredible.
Well, we were sitting in a bar one night in North Hatley in Quebec, which is a little village outside Montreal where my family has a little cottage there, and we were sitting in the bar watching the World Series. It was the fall, and there was a guy sitting there, and I said, that guy, I bet he's in the music business. So we got talking to him, and it turns out he was. His name was Alan Nichols, and he writes music for Robert Altman movies, and he's a first ASM on films and stuff like that. And he ended up offering us his house to hang out in to make this record because he had just built a studio. And Alan Nichols was once the lead singer of JB and the Playboys.
Who turned into the JBs, who did that tune, I'm a Loner, which is really amazing because he kind of shares some parallels with you because he didn't just do the music, he also did the movies, and you're into the movies too, aren't you, Torque of the STARS?
I am. Maybe one day I'll own a house. Wouldn't that be nice? That would be a great thing.
Now, just a little bit more about your producer, or is he the producer, or did he just lend you the house?
Yeah, no, he just lent us the house. He wasn't even there. He was down south doing something else. He was just the guy we met and had some beers with who got along with us, and he was kind enough to give us his beautiful house. So.
What exactly is his life story? I mean, just quickly, because he now works with Robert Altman. Like I said, you were involved in films and stuff, and now he's involved with like Robert Altman, and he was involved in a cool 60s band, and you're involved in a cool 21st century band. What brought all the... How did JB and the Playboys end up in Robert Altman films? Or like, what was
the
connection?
He's had a crazy life. I think what happened after he did JB and the Playboys was like he got into hair. He was in the original cast of Hair on Broadway, and he did a bunch of, like, rock and roll review shows, you know, and stuff like that. There was a poster of him in the studio that he built, with like, arm in arm with John Lennon. I think he did, like, a Beatles tribute kind of thing for a long time. It was a big hit, like Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band kind of thing, but on the road, you know. And so I guess maybe he met Hollywood people through that, I guess, and he met some film people, and Altman, I don't know, took a shine to him. I don't know. He writes, like, he writes the music in it that's like if somebody's listening to the radio, you know, and there's music in the background, Alan writes that music. He doesn't score the movies. He writes the, like, incidental music in the movies.
And we're speaking here to Torque from the band The STARS, who are playing next Friday night at the Commodore Ballroom in Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada. Your bass player, Torque.
Yes.
Evan.
Evan Benanley Cranley.
I notice he wears beads. He's wearing some beads in some video that's up there on the internet.
He's an inveterate bead wearer. Yes,
but
that is true.
I also notice he played trombone on the High Dial CD. Montreal Garage Rockers used to be part of the Datsuns.
I'm sure he did. Cranley will pretty much play trombone on any record you want him to, as long as you promise him $20. You don't have to pay him. You just have to tell him you're going to pay him, and he'll show up and do it.
Now
you got to let him smoke cigarettes in the booth, though.
And he also won a YTV Achievement Award. Was he the guy that won the YTV Achievement Award?
Evan Benanley Cranley is the winner of the YTV Achievement Award for the year 1986. He's shocked that you know that.
Well, the thing is, there's been an interesting history of, was it a band?
He also won Just Like Mom. I don't know if you know that, Nardwar, but Cranley is also the winner of Just Like Mom. He won a barbecue, a 10-speed bike, and something else. I can't remember.
For the YTV thing, what exactly did he win for YTV? Because the YTV Achievement Award winners is a long, distinguished list of these people. Like, it's interesting to have the stars join this list. Like, for instance, Plumtree, The Smugglers, and Bare Naked Ladies all have won YTV Achievement Awards.
I did not know that. Well, I think he won for being a part of a little hippie collective called Gypsy Soul. And I think they won for most promising newcomers of the year or something like that. I'm here to tell you they weren't promising at all.
And Twerk of the Stars, what about Chris from your band, Chris Seligman?
Yes, Chris Seligman, yes.
What is his background?
Well, he was a childhood baseball star, big guy on the mound, big pitcher for Little League. And then he went to Boston University for a while and took some French horn, and he played in the pit orchestra of the Scarlet Pimpernel on Broadway for a year or two.
Is that where you met him?
No, I've known Chris since we were 8 years old. I met him in grade three. We've been friends all our lives. So that's where we started writing music, was in New York. Me and Chris were hanging out in New York together, and we wrote some music.
Does he have any musical background from his parents or cousins or anything? Because I noticed there's a Matthew Seligman who's in the band The Soft Boys. You know, Robin.
Yes, yes, of course. Yes, Matthew Seligman. Also a good producer now, I think. He produces a lot, Matthew.
Is there any connection there, or is that this?
I don't know. They might be distant cousins. I think Chris's grandfather was a trumpet player in a jazz band.
Really? You think they might be cousins?
Yeah, Seligman.
That's
possible.
An interesting link-up. Another link-up for the stars. You have the 60s punk link-up with the amazing JBs and the 70s punk link-up with the Soft Boys.
We are for the ages, Nardwar.
Well, actually, it continues on to the 21st century. Now, you're on tour right now, Twerk of the Stars. You're on tour right now. You guys are on tour.
Like, we are outside the Whipped Cream clothing store in Saskatoon, Saskatchewan.
You are playing Saskatoon tonight. You are playing Saskatoon. Are you playing Amigos?
Yes, we are.
You are playing the legendary Amigos.
Of course we are. I have to have the veggie burger. I can't pass it up.
Amigos. Have you ever played Amigos before?
Yes, we have, a couple of times.
Did you ever play there when you got to be able to have a band room, when the band room was actually at the actual club?
No, I haven't. I didn't even know there was one.
It was the most amazing experience, because the band would play, and then after the gig, the party would continue on up at the room. Get it? The crowd.
Fantastic.
The crowd. So more bands were sucked, chucked, and fucked at Amigos than any other club in North America. Well, maybe in Canada. It was an amazing place.
It's pretty typical of my life that no longer happens just as I arrive.
So you're totally denied that. So the stars are playing tonight at Amigos. Broken Social Scene are on tour. The stars are on tour. The Metric is on tour. Who is playing in Broken Social Scene? Like, aren't you in Broken Social Scene? What's going on?
I am, but they're not on tour just at the moment. They're going on tour in Europe in a couple of weeks, and some of us are going over to do that right after we finish this. But they do occasionally have a people shortage, and then when they go, what happens then is they just get people who they know in the city, or don't know, even somebody they meet in a bookstore or something. They say, "Do you know the words to Almost Crimes?" And then the person gets to sing it, pretty much.
How many of you guys actually play in Broken Social Scene? And should Broken Social Scene fans feel gypped that you're on tour? Like, you should be working with them right now. What are you doing?
I think Broken Social Scene fans should feel gypped that. I think that's an important emotion for them to have. And there's like, I don't know, maybe at any time there could be five people, two people in the Broken Social Scene. There could be one if Kevin's upset. There could be 25. There could be 12. There could be 15. That's, in that range.
Torque of Stars coming to Vancouver next Friday night to the Commodore Ballroom.
And Saturday at Richards on Richards.
Oh,
that's the one we really want people to come to because that's our headliner show.
Saturday night at Richards on Richards. Saturday. Your big headliner here in Vancouver,
big,
Columbia,
the big
Canada.
Headliner show.
I played the song Let It Go by you guys.
Yes, it's called The Big Fight, but some people have it as Let It Go. It's interesting. Some people know it that way.
And I compared it to Prefab Sprout.
Thank you very much.
Now, was I wrong to do that? I played a Prefab Sprout, and then I played some of you guys, and it didn't seem like the two were kind of the same. I was hoping they'd be the same, but they weren't.
But you know what, Nardwar? That's my greatest hero in the world. So you were right to do that.
I played it.
I'm inspired deeply by that person and by the band. We all are.
But I'm afraid I may have played the wrong era of Prefab Sprout. If you guys are inspired by Prefab Sprout, what era are you inspired by? Are you compared to like early, late, middle? Did I play the wrong one? I don't know.
I think we sound more like middle, like, you know, 92, 93 kind of, you know, Jordan the Comeback and Andromeda Heights. I'd love to sound like 86. You know, When Love Breaks Down and stuff like that, but we're just not that good.
I played Here on the Eerie. That's what I played.
Oh, yeah, from Swoon.
And that was too early, wasn't it?
Yeah, we're not arty enough for that.
I was going to play the Comeback CD just because the name sounded so good. The Comeback.
The Comeback and the Protest. That is protest songs. Maybe you could put those together. I think that's kind of equal.
Now, winding up your Torque of the Stars, I want to ask you about Dave Hodge. Not Dave Hodge from Hockey in Canada, but Dave Hodge, the guy who mixed your LP.
Yes.
It appears that he mixed Brand Van 3000 and the Wu-Tang Clan.
It's true. It's true. And he not only did that, but he went to grade 6 with us.
Are you afraid? Because what the hell happened to the Wu-Tang Clan, and what the hell happened to Brand Van?
Well, we were a bit afraid about that, Nardwar, and that's why, you know, we don't solely work with Dave, because we're afraid he does have a curse. No, I'm just kidding. Dave is an amazing producer, and he works with all kinds of people. He also plays trombone. You'll like this. More connections, Nardwar. He plays trombone in Macy Gray's band.
And this is a Canadian.
And he's a Canadian. He's from Toronto. We grew up with him.
When did he
has a dog called Macy, and he named her Macy before he even joined Macy Gray's band. How weird is that?
When did he produce? That is pretty weird. When did he produce the Wu-Tang Clan?
He did that back in like 97. He worked with, I think it was Razelle or one of those. It was one of the dudes. I mean, I think to say he worked with the Wu-Tang Clan is probably an exaggeration.
Because I think Razelle is in the band The Roots, or was in The Roots.
Oh, well, maybe it wasn't Razelle then. There's a great many people with extraordinary names involved in that band, so I can't, you know. I smoke too much pot to remember.
Torque of the Stars coming to Vancouver next Friday night at the Commodore and Saturday night at Richards on Richards. Saturday night, the Stars from Montreal playing Richards and Richards not tomorrow, but next Saturday night. You are comprised of several members in your band. Amy is in your band. And was she in a band at one time called Edith's Mission?
She was, indeed. She was in a band called Edith's Mission with Emily Haynes, Patrick.
And somebody called E.B.
E.B. Kaslick, who's a great novelist.
Yes, and she wrote your liner notes. Who is E.B.? And where can people learn more about E.B.? And where are her novels?
Her novels are for sale. Her first novel is called Skinny, and it just came out a couple of months ago, and it's for sale at bookstores everywhere. She's published by McLeod and Stewart, so they can go to the website. She's an amazingly beautiful woman and an amazingly... HarperCollins, sorry, not McLaren Stewart. And she's a great, great writer, and she's a dear old friend of Amy's and of all of ours. We like to get everybody in the family involved when we make things, you know?
And you are Torque of the Stars. Now, winding up your Torque of the Stars, what sort of T-shirts are you wearing these days? Because you were spotted wearing an I Love the Deers T-shirt.
Yes, well, I do love the Deers. They're a fantastic band. But these days, I have one that says Tobias Y on it that I wear sometimes. And I also have one that says Bush equals war criminal. And I have another one with him on it, and it says evil doer underneath. I think this year it's going to be fashionable to wear a lot of anti-Bush propaganda.
And you were
on your shirt.
And you were Twerk of the Stars, and you can keep wearing it for the next 4 years. So it's
isn't that fantastic? My fashion is no longer irrelevant. It's great.
It's not being so helpful. It's not going to go on a date. And I noticed you also share your birth date with Murray of the Deers, the lead singer of the Deers.
That's right.
You have the same birthday. Now, quickly, what is going on with the Deers? I heard that Morrissey, like, personally requested them to open. Like, it wasn't some booking agent that he personally requested the Deers open for him. Is this true?
It's absolutely true. And then he walked up to Murray and he said, "I love your record. Forge on. Forge. Forge. Forge." And then he made a little fake gun at Murray and he shot at him with his fake gun and said, "I'll be watching you in the audience tonight." And Murray collapsed in tears.
I mean, it's time to quit right there, isn't it?
It's over. But you know what happened to them today? Now they're going to go open for REM all across Italy.
Oh, no!
Those dudes are popping.
They're going crazy. Well, are they going to get any more Morrissey action? Like, didn't they do something in L.A.? How did that go? Like, weren't they doing...
They just did Halloween in L.A. with Morrissey, and I think they're going back to do two more shows with him. They're part of the Mazur family, man.
So do the Mazur fans like the Deers now? Like, are they accepted?
I think they just sold out 700-seater in Sheffield, England, man.
Wow.
The times are good for a black boy from NDG, man. It's a happening thing. Murray Lightburn is an unbelievable artist, and he deserves everything he gets.
Twerk, why don't you like the Magnetic Fields? What's wrong with the band the Magnetic Fields?
The band the Magnetic Fields are no good, Nardwar, because the man who runs them, called Stephen Merritt, I don't know if you've met him or not, he's got a pickle up his bum. He's a very snobby, mean guy. And he's mean to people who he considers less than him. And he has a little dog that he carries around with him. He's not rock and roll.
He's a legend, though. Like, what sort of person would not like the Magnetic Fields? Does that mean you don't like twee music? Or you like the music, you just don't like the person?
Betty Crocker is a legend. That doesn't mean anything. Being a legend is... Pete Rose is a legend.
But the Magnetic Fields, like, does that mean you don't like twee music?
Because I like twee music, but I think that if you're going to be twee, you should drink a lot. You know what I mean? You can't just be twee and, like, have coffee. That's just going too far.
Now,
if you're going to be twee, be a hopeless alcoholic.
Winding up here with Twerk of the rock and roll band Stars playing next Friday night at the Commodore Ballroom and Saturday night their own headlining show at Richards on Richards. Who are you playing on Friday night with? Just wondering.
We're playing with Death Cab for Cutie.
Wow!
Yeah.
Talking about selling out big venues, those guys are on fire, aren't they?
I think it's already sold out.
Wow.
It's going to be fantastic.
But your gig is not, so please, buy a ticket to go see the Stars.
Exactly.
Next Saturday night at Richards & Richards. And winding up here, just lastly, Twerk, I want to ask you a tiny bit about your acting and stuff. Acting. So you've done a bit of acting, like your original producer there. Well, the guy who lent you the place to record, Alan Nichols, who was in the JB's amazing Montreal garage punk from 1966. Is it true you were on Sex in the City with Alanis? You were on Sex in the City with Alanis.
Nardwar, you've asked me a lot of interesting questions tonight, but I knew you were going to bring that one on, because everybody does. It's true. I was. It's true. What can I say?
Okay, you're...
And you know what else? It's the single thing I've done in my life that people really find remarkable.
What?
Everything else, they don't really care about.
Well, hold on.
Stay on Sex in the City. Man, it blows their mind.
You had a couple lines talking about pleather, right? I won't make you recite the line.
I'll recite them for you. I said, "Are you wearing pleather?" And then I said, "Oh, please. Vodka tonic is so 20th century."
And now you're out of there. You're gone. That's it. Erased from history. That was it. But it doesn't stop there. No, it doesn't stop there. You, Twerk of the Stars, also acted with Sarah Pauly and Lorena McKinnitt.
It's all true.
On Heaven and Earth. I mean, that's a step up from Sex in the City. Sarah Pauly.
I knew you'd do the Heaven on Earth. I knew you'd find that
heaven,
one. Yes,
Lorena,
that was a classy operation.
Lorena McKinnitt. And then, to top it all off, you, Twerk of the Stars, in your acting career, you acted with Philip Seymour Hoffman, a.k.a.?
A.k.a. Philip.
A.k.a. Lester Bangs.
Yes, indeed.
You
acted
with Lester Bangs. You acted.
I did.
No.
He licked my ass every night, in fact,
Philip,
7 months.
Philip Seymour Hoffman, that is absolutely incredible. What,
yes.
Now, what haven't I asked you about? Did you audition for the Edison Twins? Were you into the Edison Twins?
My life is a trivia question, is it not?
Were
it's
you?
A bunch
did
of
you audition
questions.
For the Edison Twins? That's what we got to know last year.
I honestly cannot answer you whether I can't remember. I may have auditioned for the Edison Twins. It sounds like an interesting project. Why don't you send me the sides?
And now you're into Shakespeare. Oh, my God.
Into Shakespeare.
What has happened? Well, thank you again for phoning into the Nardwuar to Human Serviette radio show, Torque of the Rock and Roll Band.
Stars.
The Rock
thank
and Roll.
Thank you so much, Nardwuar. We appreciate it.
The Rock and Roll Band Stars. Anything else you want to add to the people out there at all?
I just want to say we love Vancouver. It's the city of my dreams. I big it up. Come see us.
Why should people care about the star? Oh, sorry, stars. Why should people care?
Because we care about you.
Well, thanks so much, Torque. Keep on rocking in the free world. And
thanks, brother. You too.
And doot doot a loot doo.
Doot doot.